Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you so much for listening today. Awfully glad you can join the show today. We've got a fantastic hour coming up. My friend Todd Mullican is in studio, and if you have not experienced time with Todd, I think you'll enjoy that. We're going to open the phone lines today and give everyone a chance to call with their questions regarding their relationships. If you've got some marital or relational issues, you can call. If you've got mood disorders, you can give us a ring. If you've got problems with your family, and I think that's probably everybody, you can call us. If you have anxiety, stress, feelings of panic, ADHD, codependency, or parenting issues, we would love to field your questions. And the number is 877-933-2484. I'll give you that number again, 877-933-2484. I also, you can text me any question you have at that same number. And you can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I can ask the question for you. I've already got a bunch of questions for Todd. So we're going to have a great hour with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. You can go to toddmullican.com to check him out, to run your credentials on him, toddmullican.com. I need glasses. All right. We'll take a little break, and then we'll start the questions and answers with Todd Mullican. Be right back.
Shovels, blowers, salt, scrapers.
And don't forget all the movies.
You're preparing now for all the snow that will be coming our way this winter. Because when you're in the middle of it, if you're not prepared, well, you might end up stuck. Welcome to Faith Radio, where everything is designed to prepare you with encouragement to help you through tough times, with insight to share with an unbelieving friend, and with wisdom to discern the truth. Life is blowing in. Are you ready? Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
You've likely noticed some recent programming changes here at Faith Radio. To help keep you informed about all of our programs, we encourage you to view our program guide at myfaithradio.com. The program guide lists every show, the time it airs, and information about the host. You can also listen to the podcast of any programs you missed. Stay up to date on your favorite shows. Just click on the Programs tab at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I've got Todd Mullican in studio. He was nice enough to be part of the live show last week, and that was a really most wonderful time. And now we're going to tackle some real issues today in the show. If you've got relationship issues, anxiety issues, stress issues, family issues, marriage issues, please call 877-933-2484. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
And thanks for doing the live broadcast last week.
That was so fun.
Whatever that was. Yeah, that was really fun, wasn't it?
That was great.
You did a great job, too.
Well, thank you. Thanks
and
so
much. I'm not just saying that. I really mean it. You did a great job.
Oh, back at you. It was
yeah,
fun.
Thanks.
It was a good time.
Thanks. Now, I've invited all of our listeners to call to ask you anything. And I've got some questions already. So let's begin, huh?
Okay.
A listener wrote in and said, my wife doesn't like herself. Mm. All right. She's kind. She's hardworking, faithful. But she doesn't really make herself vulnerable to others. So maybe that's a friendship thing. She doesn't have maybe real friendships. So she always has an excuse not to go to lunch or coffee. And I've tried to encourage her to connect with others, but she doesn't think anyone wants to be around her. So I want to help, but I don't think I'm qualified. Any suggestions?
Oh, wow.
I got some very smart listeners.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, a couple things. I think one would be is he gets to understand that women do want to feel pursued and noticed and connected with. So I think he can come towards her. and be gentle and kind and loving, and that would be something he's for, and doing that through the power of the Spirit, coming towards her in those things. Some of the things he's concerned about for her, I think we have to kind of watch a little bit, you know, because as men, sometimes we want to solve problems and, you know, fix things. And so sometimes the woman's most powerful need is just one of security, a sense she can be fully who she is in Jesus in the home. And, you know, so I think there's a fine line with, so I think what he could do is say, I'm noticing some of these things, sweetheart, as an aunt can do for you, or what do you need most from me?
But what if she doesn't like herself? How do we get that going?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, he can't rescue that or change that or fix that, right? I mean, that's between her and God, but he can certainly build her up in terms of what he's for with her and come towards her with loving connections and just letting her know he's for her in Jesus. And so I think that's a little different approach than maybe, you know, how do I help her like herself more? Yeah. Does that make sense? Because sometimes what unintentionally happens from the goodness of a heart, because in marriage we very quickly can know what the other person's struggles are. And even when we're doing it beautifully, like that person is you can tell his heart is not judgmental, he's just concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but how do I come towards in a way that's not like I'm trying to get you better? So if she comes towards him and shares those things, I think what he can do is just be honest and say, I'm for you, I love you, you know, I know God is for you, and what can we do today that would just help you feel like we're connecting better?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a fine line with trying to take care of that situation for the other person. Sometimes that can even fuel the other person's insecurity. Does that make sense?
Not really. Explain
okay,
that.
Okay, well,
some
that
more.
Means like, well, you're noticing these things that I'm not.
Oh,
and so
I
kind
see.
Of is unintentionally piling on, okay?
Yeah.
The intention isn't that. So I think in general, when men have that struggle with their wives about those kinds of things, I think, Bill, their main go-to is to listen, to understand, to come towards and draw her out versus kind of what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
Because that fix-it style, even if it's done, you know, beautifully, can still feel invalidating from the woman's perspective. It can kind of feel like you are kind of noticing what I'm not yet.
But if there's a sense that I would like to have better friendships, I'd like to create more real friendships, but if you push people away, then what?
Right. So if his truth is, now, are you sensing from this caller that they were, the person, the wife was saying, I have these struggles and I want to help, I need your help in that? Or is this something he's observing about her, do you think?
I think it sounds like it's something that he's observed about her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's still a little bit in that,
okay,
here's what you're not yet and here's what I'm concerned about for you. So I think he can say, like I have couples do, you know, I always say let each other in versus take things out on each other. So I have couples try to have some daily sharing a few times a week where they just let each other in on highs and lows, and maybe that would be a time to just observe, sweetie, it feels like you're not liking who you are or you're shutting some friends out, but how do you see it? You know what I mean? So he's creating a safe place for her just to unload towards him a little bit. Does that make sense? Versus trying to fix it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're in the long game, and usually the fix-it mentality, even done beautifully, is usually not helpful.
Nobody wants to be anyone's project, do they?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, here's a question. Todd, a listener said, what do you suggest when one's son is married to a borderline who creates problems in the family and makes up lies about certain individuals? It makes it difficult on holidays as she ostracizes certain people.
Yeah, so maybe we can explain borderline a little bit. So
that'd be helpful for
me. Borderline personality disorder is one of the 10 personality disorders. And I think in the new, we have this book called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual that we refer to that has a host of different psychological issues. So borderlines are in the personality disorder section. And personality disorders usually means that the person's symptoms have fully integrated into their personality. So if somebody battles depression, Bill, it usually means they're not always depressed. They're maybe episodically depressed.
Okay.
They're ruminating more. So with borderline, the symptoms they have are this border of love and hate. So, you know, there's a recent book written on borderline says, I hate you, please don't leave me. So usually a borderline personality sort of person grew up in a home where the dominant parent said, I love you, I hate you, you're amazing, I can't stand you. So they do this push and pull with people around them, and they split families, they split individuals because they're operating out of their own fear of abandonment. So they will overvalue and then devalue somebody just like that. So it'll feel like you're their best friend, and all of a sudden they can't stand you. So what happens when you're married to a borderline is you immediately, you know, one of those things you mentioned earlier was codependency. Immediately you start walking on glass and going, well, I don't know who I'm getting today. So in that family system, that's really hard. So the first thing I think, because I see this a lot, I see parents of a family member who has married somebody that has narcissism or borderline.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do as parents, right?
Yeah.
So our best thing we can do, in my opinion, is know we're in the long game, you know, in this process. We don't want to pile on too much saying, hey, we think your wife or your husband has these issues. What are you going to do about it? Instead, we want to create a safe place for our son or daughter to say, hey, I'm concerned about my wife or my son or my daughter, mm-hmm. or my husband, excuse me. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So we want to make sure we're creating dialogue with having a safe place for that, you know, son or daughter to come to us and say, God, I'm just worried, you know, she's splitting us. And so I think the first step for the parents is evaluate and pray about, hey, do we feel like we got a good relationship with our son where we're, again, listening to understand versus kind of saying, here's what's wrong with your wife.
Mm, gotcha.
That's the first step, but it's a long journey.
Mm-hmm. All right, another question from a listener. I've been listening to Faith Radio for years. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to share some of the talks I hear with my wife, knowing that she could benefit from them, but all she says is she's not going to listen because she thinks I'm trying to shove things down her throat. She is a Christian, but she is so against the things that I share with her from Faith Radio. I try to come with, I think this is loving and caring, but she doesn't see it. And it seems I pray for her, but do you have a suggestion on how I can get her to experience Faith Radio with me? And to be able to trust that I'm not going to try to lead her astray.
Wow.
It's a complicated question. If she's a Christian, I would think you would not have a resistance to faith-filled spiritual talk.
Right.
Unless she doesn't like me.
Doubtful.
Cue up.
I do think what happens as couples, you know, like my wife and I are both firstborn, so we have some good ideas on how the other person can grow spiritually. And so even in an unintentional level, we sometimes can come off in a way that says, I have something I'd like to share with you that I think might help you kind of mm-hmm. thing, if that's the spirit of it. It when we're on the receiving end of that, it's a little bit of, okay, you know, so what's the pattern here in the marriage? So what I would do, it's more about letting each other in versus taking things out on each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like that.
So letting each other in means, hey, I heard this from Faith Radio today. It was really interesting, and I'm feeling less scared because Rebecca last hour talked about how to release, you know, the anxieties.
Right.
So I'm just kind of grateful for that. So he's letting her in versus, you know, I'd like you to listen to this because I think it might help. That make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Totally
makes a lot of sense.
Different dialogue. And now we got an attached marriage where, you know, just as we go to God with our issues and we have a loving, attached relationship with our Heavenly Father, we get to try to create that in our marriage. So mm-hmm. it's much more about let each other in versus, you know, taking things out on each other.
Those are good words, Todd. Let me take a little break. Todd Mullican's my guest. I got lots of questions coming in. Certainly have time for yours, 877-933-2484. Thanks to my listeners that were already sending lots of great questions. We'll try to get them all in. It is 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back with Todd in just a minute. To the show. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Todd Mullican, my friend, is my guest in studio. He's a counselor. What kind of counselor are you, Todd?
Most of my work is with couples, Bill,
couples,
but I
yeah,
see
yeah,
individuals
yeah.
as well.
Of course.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor, so I've been doing it for a long time. So I see a lot of couples, but I see individuals as well.
Awesome. All right. Another question I've got coming in. Let's see. My wife has an anger issue that pops up quickly and out of nowhere. Cut that... at fast response. Once the anger is surfaced, there's nothing that can be said or done to make it subside. It usually takes a sleepless night's rest and a phone call from me the next day when she's at work to calm the waters. I don't like feeling like I have to be so careful. There's the eggshell thing,
yeah.
Walking on eggshells. She likes to fight. I like to flee. Mm. Can those two work?
Wow.
A fighter and a fleer?
Yeah, we usually have one of each. We have one fighter, one flighter, typically. Uh-huh. Sometimes you have two fighters, and so they're both on the top of Anger Mountain more often. And sometimes you have two flighters, and they take a while to get to the top of Anger Mountain. But when they're there, they like to stay there. So usually the fleer will internalize under stress and be very kind of impacted by anger that's expressed outward. And the fighter is usually really hurt by how the flighter goes in. Does that make sense? So when the flighter goes in with their feelings, the fighter feels like they're not being honest and they're not in touch with their feelings. And when the flighter sees the fighter expressing anger outwardly, it really can be hard for that person. So again, in the spirit of what we talked about so far, Bill, about letting the other person in versus taking things out, I think in real time what this person gets to do is come towards and say, "Gal, you know, when you got angry last night, I was really sad or I was hurt and I'm just struggling this morning." You know, he's letting her in versus kind of fixing her or taking something out on her. He's not avoiding the issue. But then here's the next step that's really hard, is that usually that isn't an amazing moment, okay? When he or she finally addresses the other person, it's not like they say, "Well, thank you for sharing, and isn't this a wonderful conversation, let's pray it up," okay? Usually the person who is confronted, even gently, is very frustrated because they're still dealing with anger, unresolved hurt. Could be an upbringing issue. It could be a marital issue. Could be a work, you know, who knows what the core issue is. But what they get to do as a couple is learn to how to have a safe, clarifying conversation about letting each other in. So what I would ask him to speak without offending, not because he's walking on glass, you know, take off your shoes. There's no glass on the floor. You just get to be, you know, Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. So I'm sincerely coming towards her saying, "Sweetie, I was hurt by your anger last night. It was really hard for me." And then she gets to hear what he's saying, and he's not avoiding it, but he's not afraid of it either. He's got to address versus avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to learn how to regulate the anger so the anger doesn't regulate her. Okay, she needs to be able to breathe through the anger and maybe even learn what she's experiencing and let him into that and say, "Yeah, I was really angry for these reasons. I'm struggling." So they have to learn how to create a place where they hear each other versus kind of giving instructions to each other or trying to fix each other.
Yeah, that's a tough cycle, though, if anger pops up quickly.
Yep.
And then everyone's neurologically flooded.
Yep.
And then it's a sleepless night, and then you're doing damage control the next day.
Right. So we want to create a new pattern. Now, we're not going to fix the pattern right away.
Yeah.
It's going to be over time, not overnight. So that next day, you know, when they talk about it, they need to then do a proactive thing that says, "Hey, how do we do this deal, this cycle we're in? How do we do that better? What are we both for?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we need to do that better versus him saying you have an anger issue versus her saying, "Well, you're too much of a flighter." You know, na 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 na. It needs to be, here's what's hard for me.
You don't really make that noise, though, do you?
The na 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 noise? Sounds pretty clinical, doesn't
it? Really does.
Very, really deep.
Yeah.
And,
hope no one pays you for that.
Right, exactly. But it is really hard when you're exposed to anger. So if he's intimidated, if he's scared,
I think
he needs to let her know that.
It sounds like it starts a process.
And, right.
And once the process starts, you know what it takes to get on the other side of it. And that's exhausting too, isn't it?
It is. It's life draining.
Is it for both of them.
For both of them, different reasons. Right. So nobody's having any fun right there.
Yeah.
But what they get to do together is say, how do we do this dance better here? How do we yield to the Spirit and say, "Okay, God, you know, here's my stuff with this. How do I work on my own side of the street with the Holy Spirit to go, okay, here's my stuff." So he would need to say, "You know, I think I shut down too much, sweetheart. That's on me." She would need to be able to say, "Hey, you know, when I get angry the way I do and I can't kind of regulate it, I think that's my stuff from back here. And I want to learn how to come towards you with that, honey."
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they need to learn how to do.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Aline is calling in from the Twin Cities. Aline, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, you have a question for Todd.
Yes, I guess my question is, I think, like, I lived a long time denying that my parents were toxic to me. And I always thought that if they were too strict or they were telling me that things that they were, I was told my whole life, it was out of love. Until I think the situation became really tough for me. And I realized that I've been having anxiety attacks and, just because I'm always thinking, what are they thinking about me or the things that they still told me how to do? Like, they will get upset if I buy a car and I don't tell them that I was going to buy a car, how much it cost, why I did it, what did I do with the last car. So I just, to me, it's really hard because, I don't know, I just feel like I need time away from them. But at the same time, I know that if I do that, they are not going to take it the right way. I have tried many times to talk to them about how sometimes it affects me, the things that they do, but still I feel like they don't get it. They just feel that I'm not a good daughter. And they, my mom will try to say manipulative things like she's going to move away and we're not, I'm not going to see her ever again. Or my dad will blame me all the time for the things that happened wrong.
Oh, boy. I'm so sorry you're going through that.
Yeah, and I just don't know. Like, they're Christians. They actually go to church and everything. But I'm at this point where I don't know what to do because it has affected me and my family. I'm not married. I have kids. And there's a point where even, like, I'm being told how to raise my kids. Like,
sure.
Even, like, the kind of hurt that I have to do to my kids.
Right.
So I just the right thing without being selfish or like or them. I don't know, like if I'm, I don't know.
Well, you can kind of yeah. Great questions, Lynn. Well, you think, and how old are your kids?
My kids are 1.5 and 4.
Okay, got it. Well, I guess. I would guess you as a mom are creating a place for them, right, where they're going to learn to have their own voices over time because that's how you're going to come towards them, right? And it's wonderful. And so one of the things that I think will help is you're starting to understand and your body's reacting to it, right, where you're taking things on from parents that come off like a little bit more, if you will, a little bit more shaming towards you. So what you get to do is not take those feelings on anymore, right? You get to kind of go to the Spirit and go, you know, Lord, I know what is true, and I know I'm one of yours, and I know my folks are acting in a way that isn't loving towards me. So the best advice I can give is be what I call more of an inside-out person versus outside-in. What I mean by inside-out is here's Aline's, you know, thoughts and feelings, and I'm bringing that out into the world. My parents might not react well, and I can't control that. And the other thing I would advise you to do is do create some boundaries. You know, Mom, when you talked to me like that yesterday, it was hurtful, so I need some space right now. And you're right. You're so right. They're not going to react well, but that's okay. That's not your issue. You know, your issue is I'm going to start bringing truth in a healthy way because that's the way I am towards my kids. You know, that's the way you are towards your kids. So your truth is that's how it's going to be. So,
all right. We got to take a little break. Aline, that's a fantastic question. Thank you for the call. Todd Mullican is my guest in studio. If you have a question for him, 877-933-2484. We're talking about relationships and problems that are associated. We still have a bunch of questions and callers. So we'll be right back with more of Todd Mullican in just a minute or two. It's 31 minutes after the hour. I am in studio with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling, toddmullican.com. M-U-L-L-I-K-E-N. Did I do that right, Todd?
Yes.
Thank you. I always freak out when I go to have to spell your name. We're talking about relationships, and lots of calls and lots of emails have come in and texts, so keep that up if you like, 877-933-2484. We can take that as a phone call or a text. Here's a question, Todd. My wife and I have a turbulent relationship when we're together. We have good conversations on the phone, but in person, we have a tendency of kind of raising our voices or going quiet. Maybe it's because we're reading into our body languages and facial expressions too much. Is that a part of it?
Yeah, we get in each other's heads and then we perceive things that maybe are not true.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hypersensitive. Even sometimes we grew up in a family where there isn't real resolve when there's anger. So we're just vulnerable to that more. or we're reading into something because we're in a tough place. So whatever the issue is, we get to have, first of all, we get to have conversations about what we're for with each other. You know, we get to start doing what I call 5-to-1. So giving each other 5 affirmations for every one concern. So it kind of...
Concern, I like that.
Yeah.
It's not a negative, it's just a concern.
A concern.
Yeah.
And it's not like we say 5 nice things real quick and then kabam. You know, it's we're changing our eyes for each other.
Okay.
Okay. So that's important. So that when we come together, we're looking at more what we're for with each other. Not because we're avoiding the mess, but we're also looking what we're for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing I think would be is how do we have a clarifying conversation? Sweetie, it feels like this is what's going on. Is that, am I right on that? And they can say, no, here's what my intention was with what I said.
Mm-hmm.
So we're clarifying those moments so they get more comfortable being around each other. It starts with coming together with what we're for with each other.
Okay.
And starting to define that more so they get more comfortable with that. And then they learn how to have a safe conversation about the difficult moments. And that's what I work with a lot of people on, Bill, is how do we make the difficult moments not last as long, but work through them more quickly, not rush through them, but have a safe place to have interactions, speak without offending, listen without defending, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's interesting, the facial languages, or the facial expressions and body language. I mean, we do read each other, don't we, when it comes to nonverbal stuff.
Yeah, and we tell each other what the other person's feelings, which is not okay.
That's not smart, is it?
No, because first of all, I could be wrong. And second of all, I just need to work on my side of the street in Jesus. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, God's, you know, Holy Spirit's in the business of being the counselor, the spirit of truth, and versus us kind of dispensing that to each other.
And men by design can listen and watch the game at the same time. Is that right,
I don't know,
Todd?
Where that came from. But
Todd,
yeah.
Just say yes, okay?
Multitasking, I think we struggle with that.
Right.
So sorry, I can't just affirm that.
Yeah. Here's another question. This one's from a lady that said, my husband isn't sensitive to my feelings or my decisions.
Hmm.
So he wants to be in control of all the situations. And then when she calls him on it, he gets defensive and says that, you know, that she should be thankful that, you know.
Oh, my.
That, you know.
Oh, my.
He's not being selfish with money or time, and, you know, he's...
Sometimes you hear that where the person will say, well, you're lucky I'm not doing this, kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. So what, again, the key phrase here is listen to understand. So if my wife is coming towards me with something that she's concerned about, how am I listening to understand versus defending myself? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means, so... Hey, I'm really frustrated about what happened today. How do I just take that on? And I need to be okay with my spouse just being concerned or hurt by something. If my spouse disagrees with me, it doesn't mean they're disrespecting me. So how do I create a safe place for my spouse, especially on the guy's side of the street? Because I think most of the women I've counseled over the years, they really get it really hurt when they feel like their husband is just defending the actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, especially when men are on the receiving end of a difficult conversation, what we need to do as men, in my opinion, is listen to try to understand what they're saying versus trying to defend our action. When we do that, it's at least validating what they're experiencing, even if we don't agree with each other.
Well, talk about controlitis, because it sounds like there's a little issue of controlitis here.
So I seek control, Bill, usually in two ways. One is people that have a lot of anxiety, they want to control the situation because they're very restless.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of kind of giving it up to God and saying, hey, the truth is we're in this together and I'm just restless and I'm anxious. I need to let my spouse in. I'm just feeling anxious today. I'm not sure why. I'm letting her or him in versus taking it out and controlling the environment. The other controlling happens, in my experience, with people that have a need to be right and a need to win every fight. And end up on more of that narcissistic train. So
mm-hmm.
either way you slice it, controlling is more of a situation that stems from a deep insecurity versus, hey, we're in this together. So I think what needs to happen is we got to find the 50-yard line together and have what we call a principle of mutuality.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thoughts in it. Here's your thoughts. How do we find the 50-yard line? Because we're for each other.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Here's another question, Todd. And if you have a question for us, 877-933-2484. If you want to call and have a discussion on the phone, you can call us. That number also works as a text. You can text the question to me, and I will read it to Todd. You can also email me if you prefer to email, bill@myfaithradio.com. Here's a situation, Todd. Here's a question. When a couple has been married for a couple of decades and you start to wonder if your spouse likes you, you know, maybe the love is there, but maybe not the like. And the question was, I don't think my husband likes me. Wondering why he even married me. So there must be some deep sadness
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got our kids in common. We're both Christians and have been to counseling, but the marriage seems more difficult now than it's been in the 20 years we've been married. So how do we find that 50-yard line you talk about where we can try to win each other over again and fall in love in a fresh way? Or, you know, it's just, isn't that come with the territory? You have to find new ways to reinvent the love. And
very true. And we get to do that, you know. So I try to get rid of the shoulds and oughtas and we better and realize we get to have a second half that's more full, you know, full of. And there's a pattern that I think is helpful, Bill, in general. And it's the pattern of the man being on the initiative and coming towards. So
what if she doesn't receive that, though?
Well, she's got her part, too.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
Her part is to come towards and look at who he is versus who he isn't. You know, so what usually I find is the man doesn't initiate or pursue much. And then I find the woman is usually more looking at who he isn't versus who he is. So there is a kind of a deep need I've seen of the woman to be thought about and the man to be affirmed. So I know that can't happen all the time. But what we can do is if I'm a guy, what am I doing today to start noticing and coming towards her? Because I get to do that versus, well, if I do that, she'll get upset. Or, well, the last 15 times this has happened, you know. So is the man kind of initiating or pursuing? Okay. Is he coming towards? And is the woman kind of looking more at who he is versus who he isn't? That's a pattern that helps.
Yeah. Do you get this often, Todd, in your practice where the people don't like each other anymore?
Yeah. Because
they don't like each other.
Because they've hurt each other. You know what I mean? Where usually you don't hurt your best friend a whole lot.
Yeah.
And so the nice part about marriage over time, in my experience, is it usually evolves from romantic love, if you will, to affectionate love, where we become each other's best friends. Well, how do we do that? Well, because so much of marriage early on, especially with children, is very transactional. I got this, you got that. And we don't see the best of each other much, Bill. We see more of the worst of each other. So hurt feelings build up. So we tend to kind of grow apart versus grow together. So ideally what we're doing is slowly but surely in Christ, we're starting a new bank account about what we're for and cast vision. The scripture says, you know, if we don't have a vision, we die. So it doesn't like we have this, you know, 5-point vision, but we have things that we're both for. So we can start to look, because, you know, if I think, like if I leave here and think about three things about my wife that I'm frustrated with, I'm not going to have a very good night when I get home. Okay. So it doesn't mean I have to give those up. It just means if I leave here and think about the three things that I'm drawn to her about, I'm going to have a better night. You know, my eyes for her is going to be more. And this is, so I think a part of marriage too, Bill, is how are we doing with accept, you know, Romans 15:7 says accept one another in order to bring, you know, in order to bring praise to God. Again, we don't accept unacceptables, right? Adultery, addiction, abuse, but we accept the fact that she's a little bit like this or he's a little bit like that. We accept the fact that we have hurt each other and we're trying not to do that as much anymore. We're trying to come toward each other more. We're trying to let each other in more. So we're trying to reverse the pattern slowly.
Okay. Here's another question, Todd. I'm engaged to a wonderful Christian man, but my Christian dad refuses to accept him. My dad goes into verbal attack mode every time my fiance talks to him. Our family feels the stress, and I've pulled back from my parents to not feel sad and pressure. I'm positive that my dad is a narcissist. We are both in our mid-40s, both divorced with kids. It's crazy to think, but I think my dad is jealous of my fiance. Help! What should I do?
Well, she's doing a great first step, and that is create a boundary where she's going to. My first boundary is have an honest conversation, okay? So she's going to have an honest...
Easier said than done, isn't it?
For sure. So it's not like, oh, this is going to be an amazing thing. So I'm not saying, oh, just go do it tomorrow afternoon.
It'd be a disaster, isn't it?
Right.
Most likely?
Right. So what's going to happen is he's going to say, Dad, it's hurtful to me when you treat Joe like that. It's really hurtful to me, and I'm really sad. And then, you know, he's likely to not handle that well. And then comes the next boundary, which I call loving detachment, which she's in already, which is, you know, I'm respectful and cordial, but I'm not as close.
Yeah.
We're starting to detach. And I know that's not a great answer, but the truth is, you know, she's coming towards her fiancé. She's not against her parents, but she's coming towards her fiancé. And again, a loving parent is going to be excited for them in their story. Even if they're struggling with something, they're not going to create a place where they're interrogating. They're going to be more interactive. Mm-hmm. So she's doing the right first step, Bill.
Yeah.
So she needs to be encouraged that she's taking a step of a good boundary to start it.
Yeah. Do couples, when they're starting to have difficulties, do they have a tendency of isolating and withdrawing from community, or do you think that they're still involved in community but just faking it, that things are good?
Well, probably both, curious. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I see both. I see some people that, you know, and that's the dilemma with some social media these days. Everybody usually don't put on Instagram or Facebook, you know, kind of our worst moments.
Right.
So people are in that social comparison mode. So I do think that it's really good. I have every couple make sure they've got a friend or two in Jesus that is a go-to person where they break bread together. They're for each other. They're, you know, they let each other in and each other's, you know, it's not like they're talking about their spouse behind each other's back, but they know they've got a friend that is supportive and is praying for them as a couple and is listening and is an accountability person. Because then they're getting more real. And then I think the community stuff, Bill, is more about, you know, I don't think you send out a memo to all your friends, but I do think you can go to a close friend with your spouse's permission, if you will, because we're both for getting better and we're both taking off our mask a little bit. Like I think in Christian community, that's really important. You know, mm-hmm. I do think that Jesus, you know, that's who he came for is to rescue us and to help us. And so we need to let each other in a little bit.
All right, here's another question. Todd Mulliken's my guest in studio. My wife and I married 2.5 months ago. So we're both young. I'm just finished my degree and she's still pursuing hers. She says that she is ready to be a mother and would like to start a family. And although I love her very much, I don't feel emotionally, spiritually, or financially ready to take care of kids. She says, by making her wait, I'm putting her dream of being a mother on hold, which is upsetting to her. I love her and want that for her, but how do I tell her I need to wait?
Mm, great question.
They're just a couple months into a marriage.
Yeah, that's soon, right?
Yeah.
And so, what's the truth about what their story has been, Bill? What have their previous conversations been about that? So that's what I had asked him to create now is, what are we both for with having children? Well, I want to have children tomorrow. Why do I want to wait 5 years? So how do we find the 50 and not just settle on that and be done?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is neither person is trying to intentionally hurt each other. Maybe her emotions are coming through more and she's more for that now than she was when they first started dating, you know, in terms of talking about kids down the road kind of thing when they were talking about being married, you know what I mean? So maybe she's changed a little bit. But he needs to let her in to say, I'm for having children, if he is, but I would like to wait. And that doesn't mean he's against her. Sweetheart, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I love you in Jesus, but I'm not ready to do that yet. And her to say, well, I'm really hurt by that. And that's kind of that agree to disagree thing I talk about where we're not always going to see the same thing, but are we both for having children?
Yeah.
So you both have to not have this need to be right, but rather a need to understand. This is where empathy in Christ works, where, you know, her role, in my opinion, is to try to understand why her spouse wants to wait. And he needs to understand, hey, why is this important to her?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean they're both giving in, but it means they're both also not digging in.
Yeah, you don't want to blow something up this early into the marriage either and have that on your permanent record. You know, you said
Correct.
No to me 2 months into her
Right,
marriage.
And that's why we want to have a clarifying conversation.
Clarifying, that's the word I love that you use. It's always a good word, clarifying. Let me take a quick break, and we've got one more segment with Todd Mulliken in studio. It's 14 minutes until the very top of the hour. Thanks for listening. Be right back. Until the top of the hour, I'm enjoying Todd Mulliken in studio. ToddMulliken.com is where you can go check him out. And I've got a bunch of questions still queued up for you, Todd. You still good to go?
Let's do it.
All right. My husband is quick to talk to just about everyone but me.
Mm.
Huh. He sometimes our silence together can be very maddening.
Mm.
He's outgoing, likes to get to know people, and is more open with them than he is with me. I like this about him, but to be honest, I wish I could make friends that easily, and I'm jealous. I'm not like that. How can I get over this?
Well, it sounds like a couple of things. One is maybe for her to look at the goodness of him being able to connect and try to move the jealousy into a trait that she admires about him. She can be for the fact that he does do that. So whenever you and I are jealous, which is really common of things, how do we kind of move into realizing, you know, God, what I get to do in Christ is say that that's an admirable thing that, you know, he or she is bringing. So I think that could be maybe a little adjustment for her. And I think the other thing she's speaking to, though, that's really important is sometimes, whether it is the man or the woman, we save our best for everybody else and we come home and give each other the leftovers. So if the truth is I am a connecting person out with friends, I want to make sure that I'm doing my best connecting with my bride or with my groom.
Mm-hmm.
So how am I, if I am a connecting type of an extrovert kind of person, how am I doing that when I come home? And how am I looking for her in this case, coming towards her and connecting with her? Not because I'm keeping score, not because I got to do it. Like, I just get to do that.
Because
otherwise what we're doing is we're kind of creating a home that isn't as much that. But, and that's what happens with a lot of folks, Bill, is we give all our energy everywhere else and we come home and, you know, don't have much left over.
Mm-hmm. So is it common for an extrovert to find another extrovert, or is it just the opposite?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, research says that actually opposites don't attract, but you still see a fair amount of that in the couples I've worked with over the 30 years. I've seen more of one extrovert and one introvert than I have two of the same kind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
in general.
If an introvert is a listener, then a talker would look for a listener.
Yeah.
I have someone to listen to me.
Right, and they're drawn to that, right? So, again, opposites attract, and then opposites attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another question I have.
Oh, so real quick on that, can I just share?
Oh, please, yeah.
Yeah, I think what's good to do, though, is like my spouse and I really battled that. I'm a strong extrovert, she's a strong introvert, and so we tried to change each other the first year. That wasn't a good idea. So how do I celebrate the fact that she loves to reflect and introspect versus making her into me?
Mm-hmm.
And how does she, you know, try to enjoy the fact that I like staying busy and connecting and sees the value of that? So that's what I'm talking about with accepting each other. When I have eyes for her about what I'm for with her introversion, it's much different, because when somebody's different than us, we get real judgy about it and look at what they're not.
Yeah. All right, here's another question. I don't know anything about this, but maybe you could talk about reactive attachment disorder and how reactive attachment disorder might show up in marriage.
Well, I can speak to attachment issues in general.
Okay.
So I was talking what a healthy attachment is kind of like we had. So what attachment theory talks about in terms of what is a secure attachment, a lot of the research that's done on it is that a child comes towards a parent and for love, support, care as their base, and then they go out and play. A secure attachment is we come towards, we receive that mercy, that care, that correction, then we go out and play. That's what a secure attachment looks like. An insecure attachment can have many different styles. It can be an anxious attachment. There can be reactivity to it. And some of that's due to early childhood trauma where the parent wasn't very receiving. The parent was very dichotomous. They said, I love you. Then they said, I can't stand you. And so when an unhealthy attachment happens to a child growing up, then sometimes what happens when they're a big person in a marriage is they recreate that, or they're very hypersensitive when there isn't a healthy attachment. So I'm very for the idea of couples trying to have a healthy attachment. And that's what I talk about with coming towards each other, letting each other in, becoming, you know, our safest place in the universe besides our walk with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. You know, so we get to practice that together. But it's delicate. So when there is a reactive style, it usually means they're in deep pain, they feel jealous, they feel insecure. And so they have to kind of understand where that root came from and do some work on that. And their partner or spouse, if you will, needs to be able to understand that too and have mercy about that and let each other in about that.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that's easy work, but they get to do it.
Yeah. Todd, talk about the idea of a guy on the white horse loves that role, but maybe it's welcome and maybe it's not. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And how it can complicate things Because women, you always talk about women want to be pursued and they want to be...
Sure.
Nobody wants to be rescued, I don't think.
No, right.
But they want to be loved.
Thought about and, yeah.
Yeah, and thought about and pursued. And sometimes the guy that shows up on the white horse, it's like, hey, climb on, let's go for, you know, something adventurous. Is that not fun?
You know, it can be, right?
Yeah.
But I think the guy on the white horse needs to make sure that he's okay having, you know, different horses that he brings into the marriage, if you will. You know what I mean? Like... hey, maybe today she wants to take it easy. So he's not always adjusting, but he's, you know, if you and I are coming towards the spouse with a sense of what I'm for, and I'm doing this because I'm for her in Jesus, and I'm just kind of doing that because I love God and I want to come towards her, then I'm less hung up on her reactions and more just encouraged that I'm seeing her. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she doesn't want to hop on the white horse. You know, she's having a bad day. And so I don't have to be defined by her reactions, but more defined by the fact that, hey, I just want to make sure I'm that guy that isn't defined by my work, like God says to Adam, you know, in Genesis 3, hey, to dust you are, to dust you shall return, and be toiling after selfish gain your whole life. So I think what the reason why I'm speaking to the pursuit thing, Bill, is a lot of men, if we're not careful, we're too defined by what we do versus, you know, who we're married to. Mm-hmm. And looking at the beauty of who they are and come towards them more.
Mm-hmm. All right. With the Me Too movement, there's been a lot of people that have been starting to share stories. Mm-hmm. What about if you've been married for a while and you think everything is quite good, but maybe there's some trouble, and then you realize, oh, there's a story from the past that never came up.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yeah. Well, again, in the spirit of letting each other in, the person who went through that trauma is letting their spouse into that trauma. And then the person who went through the trauma is doing some work on that. And their spouse is supportive of that and is patient with that and is creating a safe place so they have a new dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to feel upset that that wasn't revealed prior
Surely,
to?
Surely, of course. There's going to be hurt with the fact that it wasn't revealed.
But what about how paralyzed with fear they were? About that, it being revealed.
So are you speaking more to the person who is revealed to now? The spouse is hearing about it for the first time?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's going to be a new thing for them, and they're going to be frustrated. Why didn't I hear about this? And the other person, who knows for sure, but they're probably going to say, I just didn't, you know, sometimes they didn't remember.
Right.
And or sometimes they, you know, because sometimes things are being triggered, repressed memories come out later in life sometimes, or sometimes there's a trigger from a movie or something that reminds them, and all of a sudden memories come back, you know. So I guess what we get to do as a spouse is know that this is my spouse's story, and I'm for them. And, you know, I can't be too focused on why they didn't do that, but more focused on trying to understand what I can do now to be a supportive spouse as they're healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to move my energy and be prayerful about that towards, you know, God, how do I not rescue or fix or save, but how do I listen and be a safe place as they're working through their story?
Mm-hmm. Todd, we've just got about a minute left.
Okay.
I'll let you talk about insecurities or selfishness. Your pick.
Mm.
That's the final Jeopardy. Make sure you answer it in the form of a question.
So I think they kind of feed off each other.
Okay.
So sometimes insecurities can come off in a way where we have to be right and we have to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways it comes out. Sometimes insecurity shows up with passivity and avoidance and shame. And so what we get to do is go to the root of that insecurity, you know, slow the mind down, let Jesus in, let the Holy Spirit in, and say, you know, what's the truth about what I'm afraid of, Lord? Because usually it's fear. It's wrapped up in fear.
And if a couple is hearing the show today and they have to initiate a difficult conversation tonight, give them a word of encouragement.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to encourage you to come towards each other and know that you're for each other in Christ and that God is with you in that moment. And we always know that if the conversation gets difficult, know that Jesus had carloads of difficult conversations, and so God is with you even in the disagreements, you know, even in the hard conversations. But we're going to practice. So we're going to try to speak without offending. We're going to try to listen without defending.
Mm-hmm. Todd Mullican has been my guest. ToddMullican.com, MULIKEN.
Double L's. It's all good.
Yeah. That wraps up the show. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, everyone. God bless. I'll see you
tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at MyFaithRadio.com.